Good, we're almost done here. Another long day. While this is loading up, I'd like to thank you all, the HIV/AIDS section, for allowing me to come present. Thank my colleagues, my co-workers, my directors, assistant directors for coming and joining me today. So the title of my presentation is Utilizing Prenatal Screening, Social Networking, and Community Partnerships to Conduct Investigations, a Unique Public Health Cluster. There are no financial relationships to disclose. So just a little bit of background information about this. Now, prenatal HIV screening is known to be an effective tool in reducing the risk of perinatal transmission of HIV. However, people often overlook the benefit of prenatal screening to the community as a whole. So this intends to give an example. It's more of a demonstration than a study of how that can be utilized to affect the community, along with social networking and community relationships. Okay, so a little bit of background information. Now, the previous slide stated that the law in Texas states that what we must do is test a woman at her first prenatal care visit for HIV, unless she refuses. If she refuses, then we counsel her that the test is confidential, but not anonymous. If she still refuses, we are to test her again during the third trimester. If she refuses then we test at labor and delivery. Now, in Houston-Harris County, between the years of 2005 and 2009, there were about 350,000 live births. 836 of those live births were to mothers who were infected with HIV. So a lot of this background information looks at that group of 836 women. Okay. Now, the prenatal care, looking at the background information about that. Now, we see here that prenatal care, generally, we have a good rate of prenatal care. A good percentage of our women are actually receiving prenatal care. We see that about 90% have received prenatal care. About 7% have received no prenatal care, and about 3% of those women, their prenatal care status is unknown. But the problem comes with the next slide. We look at late or no prenatal care. Now, late prenatal care is described as having prenatal care begin after the first trimester. So we see that in Harris County, in the years 2005, 37% had late or no prenatal care, and it consistently goes up. We have a slight increase every year. The 2008, 9, and 10 data is not available right now to me. But if you see, our HIV population it's higher than than our Harris County population, and that's something to keep in mind as we go forward through this presentation. Also, something to keep in mind is the maternal age at birth of the mothers. We see that the majority of our mothers are within the 20 to 29 age range. But this particular presentation, the range of people that I will be looking at are from ages 13 up to 21. So it's a fairly young group of people we'll be looking at today. So this is the overview of the case. The Houston Department of Health and Human Services received a report of a new HIV case detected during prenatal screening and initiated a public health investigation. This investigation resulted in 38 young adults and adolescents receiving public health follow-up. Following the original interview, 3 new cases of HIV and 3 cases of early syphilis were detected. So just a legend of how this is going to look. With the cases, you'll see HS. HS stands for HIV case. S is syphilis. Green is the cluster index. Red is an HIV infection. Syphilis infection is yellow. Orange is syphilis and HIV co-infection. Blue will be uninfected, and the purple will be not tested. So if we look at our first cluster, our case is case H1. So we have a 19-year-old African-American female. She had a previous negative in June of 2009, and her first prenatal visit was in February of 2010. She declined testing at that point. during her first prenatal test. Her second, well, at the beginning of her third trimester, she was tested for HIV, and she tested positive. That was in July, so she was 28 weeks pregnant at the time. She had a positive Western blot and a negative syphilis RPR test. So her cluster looks like that. We have H1. She named one partner, who I then went and tested, identified him as infected. Which brings us to case H2. We have a 19-year-old African-American male. He tested positive in August of 2010. I went out and gave him a rapid test, tested positive, also drew his blood, and he had a positive ELISA and Western blot, so it was confirmed positive. He also was tested negative for syphilis at the time. Now, some interesting things about the investigation that was done on his partners are that I contacted two of his partners using social networking, Facebook and MySpace. Okay, and this is what his cluster looked like. He named six partners. I was able to contact and test every partner. Three of them were not infected. Two of those additional partners were infected. So we have H3 and H4S1. And as you see that H4S1 is a syphilis HIV co-infection. We'll get into that a little bit later. That's a really interesting case cluster. So on to H3. H3 was an 18-year-old African-American female. She tested positive in September of 2010. Initially, she had a negative rapid test. I went out and tested her. The test was negative. But I also drew her blood to do a NAT test. Now, NAT is the nucleic acid amplification test, which is used to detect acute HIV. So it can detect HIV in as little as 9 to 11 days of initial exposure and infection. So just based on some information that she gave me while I was at her home led me to go ahead and draw her blood for that test, and it was positive. So she also tested negative for syphilis. So we now have an acute HIV, confirmed acute HIV infection here. She named eight partners, but I was only able to get enough information to follow up with six of those partners. So as we see, four of her partners were negative. One partner refused to be tested. The other two, like I said, I did not have enough information to follow up with them. Now on to case H4. And this is a really interesting case. This case was a 16-year-old African-American female. She tested negative in August. When I initially began to look for her, I wasn't able to find her. And this is where the use of the social networking really came in handy. All I had was a nickname, but I did have a Facebook page for her. So I went to her Facebook page, which was private, and I friend invited her. She did not accept my friend invite because I had used a kind of official looking Facebook page that I had developed with the city logo. It didn't work, so I sent her an invite from my personal Facebook so she could see a face, you know, and she accepted the friend invite. So once she accepted the friend invite, I still couldn't get a real name on her. So I just scrolled through about 4 months worth of posts until I figured out what high school she went to. So I then went to the high school. Pulled her picture up on my phone, showed it to a principal. He recognized her. So we walked to school for about 30 minutes, and we located the young lady, and I was able to test her in the nurse's office. Now, when I tested her initially, she tested negative. Her NAT test was negative and her ELISA was negative, as well as her rapid HIV test. But I noticed that she had spots on her hands and feet. So I knew that that was a sign of secondary syphilis. I drew her blood, tested her, and she was positive for syphilis. So we did bring her in and treat her. Now, at this point, she's HIV negative, but she is positive for syphilis. She then was re-exposed to the young man who named her initially a few months later. She went back to him, got re-exposed, and she became pregnant. So at her prenatal screening in December, at 7 weeks pregnant, she was tested positive for HIV. So she had a positive ELISA and a positive Western blot. And like I say, the interesting thing about her is that I used her, used her Facebook to locate her. And I also used her some social networking to contact one of her partners. This is what her case looks like. She named 8 partners. She actually had 13 partners, but she only had enough information for me to follow up on 8. I was able to test all but one. Another interesting thing is the younger people are becoming really tech savvy. So she actually had an Excel spreadsheet of all her sexual partners. And that's why she was able to give me enough information to locate so many partners. Okay, so that was just interesting. Okay, so based on her test, I found 2 additional cases of syphilis. So we go to case S2. 21-year-old African-American male. He tested positive for syphilis in October. It was early syphilis, I was able to determine, because he had recalled having a primary syphilis lesion 2 months before. His HIV test was negative. I contacted him via MySpace. Now, the partners that he named, he had met all of them on social networking sites, a site called MocoSpace. So I was able to contact all of his partners on that website. And this is what his case looks like. He named 4 partners. All of the other partners, the other 3 partners, were negative. There were 2 additional partners that he had some kind of sketchy information on, so I wasn't able to follow up with them. But I was able to determine at least that he was more than likely the source of the syphilis infection. And this brings us to case S3, which happened the following January. 20-year-old African-American male. Initially, he wouldn't respond to me. He was one of those purple circles. And he wouldn't respond, but he ended up going into the clinic because he had symptoms, and he tested positive for syphilis. He was secondary syphilis, so if I had been able to contact him, I may have been able to prevent him from even developing the infection, the disease. So he was not interviewed, he refused to be interviewed, and we couldn't obtain any clusters from him. So overall, the entire cluster looks like this. Okay, so we have all of the contacts. These are just the sexual contacts who were actually in contact with the infection. I was also able to test 16 additional people who were what we call clusters, friends, family members, associates. And we know from research that the diseases tend to travel in social circles. So we test as many people around the case as we can. Okay, so the outcomes. And why is this important? Why does this prenatal screening, why is it such a big deal in that particular case? We see from 2005 to 2009, consistently about a third of the women every year who are HIV positive and pregnant are diagnosed as new positives during prenatal screening. So 30% of them had no idea that they were positive until they were screened, which is huge. 2005 through 2009, there were a total of about 259 cases that we could follow up on potentially. We were only able to follow up on 149. Some reasons we can't follow up on all of them are jurisdictions. Some of them are lost to follow up. They have late prenatal care, so we aren't able to do any real follow up and intervention. Some of them provide false information. Some people refuse. But based on that 149 cases, we were able to generate and test 224 partners. And this is based off only prenatal tests. So, why use social networking? According to the Pew Internet Project, about 83% of internet users ages 18 to 29 use social networking sites. And internet users tend to be more trusting. So, internet users are more than twice as likely to trust other people. Facebook users, 43% more likely than other internet users to be trusting. And Facebook users are more than 3 times as likely non-internet users to be more trusting, which is why I was able to actually contact some of these people, especially the people that I contacted with Facebook, pretty fast. The MySpace people were a little bit reluctant. I had to attempt multiple times. One young man said that his MySpace had been hacked several times, so he didn't trust me when I first contacted him. But this is what the research says, that the Facebook users, social networking users, tend to be more trusting. So it's a great way to get your foot in the door as far as intervention is concerned. So, in conclusion, Detection of cases during pregnancy can greatly impact the community, as we've shown. Increasing the number of women receiving prenatal care early in the pregnancy can enhance disease intervention. Early prenatal care decreases the risk of mother-to-child transmission, which is well known. Social networking is an effective way to locate and contact young adults and adolescents for public health follow-up. And in collaboration with school officials and nurses is instrumental in successfully conducting intervention with school-age clients. As I described earlier, I was able to locate one young lady using the principal. In another situation, I utilized the nurses to help get the students in, call them down to the office, and they were very helpful, and we were able to make sure that people were tested. And that concludes my presentation. If you would like to contact me about anything, you can contact me there. Thank you all for allowing me to present.